Awesome, awesome. Good morning, everybody. It is such an honor and a privilege to be here today. My name is Pastor Dax from Columbus, so I am just right down the road from everybody here. And when I had the invitation to come and speak at this church, I was excited for a couple of reasons. One, I heard that this was a church that loved the Bible and that they loved Jesus. Am I in the right place today? And I was fired up because I love to preach Jesus and I love the Holy Word of God. In fact, my wife and I just recently got back from a mission trip in El Salvador where we had that opportunity to go and share Jesus, to preach to people and share the gospel. And here's the report that I can give you, is it doesn't matter whether you're from Columbus or whether you're from Delaware, Ohio, God is moving all over this world. God is moving. His word is going out. And as the Bible says, it will not return to him void. It will accomplish the purposes for which it was sent. His word is living, his word is active, and if you believe that God is in this place today, can I have a good amen this morning? I want to start into my message by asking everybody a question that is just for you. At some point in your life, have you ever been dissatisfied with your behavior? Have you ever not liked what you said or something that you did? You just didn't like your behavior. By a show of hands, how many people would say, yeah, that's me? Don't point at your neighbor. Don't point at your spouse. This is just directed for you. And I don't know, but maybe you find yourself getting angry at people you love. Even, you know, for me, yelling at kids. Or you find yourself impatient. Or even at times, you might be a little overcritical of people that are around you. And then when that happens, you're thinking, why did I do that? Why did I act like that? Why did I say that? What is going on? And just sometimes in our lives, we can be a little dissatisfied with our behavior. For example, I've got two kids that I still have the opportunity to drive them to school. And I thought, you know, hey, any good dad, I'm gonna impart some wisdom into my kids and teach them how to be polite and how to be respectful and not raise their voice in the car and not talk over people. So just about the time I get those words of wisdom out of my mouth, it's not even 5 minutes that go by, and they're bickering or picking at each other. And the next thing I know, they're loud, and next thing I know, I'm screaming at them, which is exactly what I was trying to teach them not to do. I don't know if anybody can relate to that, but I got done and I thought, why am I acting like this? Why am I doing this? And so at times we can be dissatisfied with our behavior. And then we might make comments like, you know, I just need to try harder. I just need to be a better person. Some people make the comment, I need to get to church, which that might not be a bad thing. I need to get to church. I need to turn over a new leaf. Some people make the comment, I just need to be a little bit more religious. I need to be more religious. Here's the first thought I want to give you today as we get ready to dive into the word. Religious behavior may make you nice, but only Jesus can make you new. Religious behavior, it may make you nice, but only Jesus Christ can make you new. And when I think of that word new, I get a little bit excited, and I want to take a look at it because I believe that that word new, it carries some significant meaning to it. I looked up the definition, and here's what the definition of new says. Not existing before, made, introduced, or discovered recently, or now for the first time. I love the beginning of that. Not existing before. And so when I think of this word new, I can't help but get excited because it always reminds me of what Jesus Christ can do for any person on planet Earth. It always reminds me of what Jesus did for me. I want to share a passage of scripture with you that has made my life new. And my prayer is that this message speaks directly to each and every person that is here today. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me to the book of Matthew? Matthew chapter 8 is where we'll be. Matthew chapter 8, we will start reading in verse 23. If you are ready to hear from the Lord today, can I have a good amen? The Bible says, then he, Jesus, got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. They followed him, and suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Jesus replied, you have little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. even the winds and the waves obey him. If you're taking notes this morning, this message is titled, New Life in Christ. New Life in Christ. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we just come to you this morning and we just lift your name up. We just glorify you. We thank you for being here with us in this place. God, I pray as this message goes out, Lord, that it be all about you, that you can just remove anything that I have to do with it, God, and let it just be your word that goes out. I pray that you take this word and just divide it up into little pieces so that each person that is in this place today gets a hand-delivered message just from you. We thank you right now, Lord, and praise you in advance of what you are already going to do. In the name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen and amen. You know, as I've been preparing for this message new, I just started thinking about new things. And I don't know about you guys, but I like new things. I mean, do I have any ladies in the house that like to get new things? Shoes, purses? Okay, ladies don't like anything. There's no hands. Come on, guys. How many guys like to get new things? I got guys going up, right? Whether it's hunting or whether it's fishing or golf, like, guys, we like to get new things. Ladies, you had your chance. And I recently tried this new thing, and it was a real new thing because I'm not a very technically advanced person. Okay, I use technology all the time, but I'm just not really advanced in that area. But check this out. Here was the new thing in my life recently. I got rid of cable. I got rid of cable. How many of y'all know cable can be expensive? Okay, if you're a cable person, we love you. We're glad you're in the house today. But look, cable can be expensive. So I kind of took the internet thing and hooked it up to a handful of channels that we like. And at the Welshimer household, we didn't watch that much. We watched ESPN and we watched sports, so that was really cool. We just got done watching a little bit of March Madness. And we also get HGTV. We like that tiny little mini house thingy, right? Something like that. And we like the cooking show where they have those cooking wars that I watch while I'm always getting hungry and trying to eat and not eat more food. But there were a couple shows in particular that I was a huge fan of, and I don't quite think they're on the channels that we get. I haven't found them yet. But has anybody ever seen the show Mountain Men? Mountain Men? I love that show, man. I love Mountain Men. And it happens probably at least once a month in the past when we get it, where I'm sitting in the comfort of my home. It's cold outside. I'm drinking a nice warm beverage. I'm eating whatever it is that I want to eat. And I will look at my wife with some conviction and say, babe, I think I could be a mountain man. Now, if you look at my wife, she's smiling right now like crazy because I'm the last person on planet Earth that could ever be a mountain man. I can't do any of those things. But I would still make the comment, and then after she kind of brought me back down to earth, I just knew it really wasn't happening. The other show that I was a big fan of was Deadliest Catch. Does anybody here like the show Deadliest Catch, if you have ever seen it? These guys are crazy, man. They are out in the ocean. They're in these boats like 40 to 200 feet long. The waves, they say, can be in excess of 60 feet in the air. Can you imagine a 60-foot wave? And I love that because I love going fishing. I'm not very good at it, but there were two significant times where I actually have been out in the ocean. My wife and I used to live in Jacksonville Beach, Florida, and one time a group took me out about 12 to 15 miles out into the ocean. It was beautiful. It was awesome. The other time is every year we take a family vacation to Canada. We go up and we go out on this lake and just do some fishing, but it's kind of secluded, so you're not going to definitely get the waves that you would get in the ocean. But here's the thing that I learned about bodies of water, whether it's the ocean and 60-foot waves or whether it's going out on a nice calm day into a lake, and this is my first point today if you're taking notes. Number one, it matters what boat you get into. It matters what boat you get into. In verse 23, the Bible said, Jesus got in the boat, and it said his disciples followed him. And I think there's a lot of significance to that verse because I'm sure the disciples could have done other things. I mean, they didn't have to get into the boat with Jesus. Maybe someone else was chartering a boat out somewhere. They were fishermen. They could have taken their own boat out. Maybe there were other people that were going to play games or do something like that. Or maybe they were just going to go home and take a nap and get something to eat. But the Bible tells us that Jesus got into the boat and his disciples followed him. And I think that's very, very significant. It matters in your life which boat you get into. The most important decision I ever made in my life. I've made a lot of bad decisions. I will make some bad decisions today. I'm going to make some bad decisions tomorrow and a year from now, as long as I'm on earth. But the best decision that I ever made, that you can ever make in your life, is getting in the boat with Jesus. And there's something else I learned about getting in the boat with Jesus. It's a daily thing. It's a daily thing. It's not just a Sunday thing. It's just not an Easter thing. It's just not a Christmas thing or a once in a while. No, every single day, you have got to get into the boat with Jesus. You've got to get into the boat with Jesus. Young people, are you going to stay sexually pure? Are you going to not go to the parties that everybody's going to? Are you going to choose wisely when it comes to the friends and the people you hang out with? What boat are you going to get into? Dads, husbands, are you going to lead your family like the men that God has called you to be, to lead your family? Are you going to not look at the things that maybe other people in the workplace or in the office place is looking at or going to? What boat are you going to get into? Ladies, are you going to support your husbands? Are you going to believe that God is going to raise them up to be who God has called them to be? Are you going to avoid the gossip train? When maybe other people or other women are bashing their husbands, are you going to stand up and get into the boat? Are you going to get in the boat? Single moms, maybe you're busting your tail. You're working two, maybe three jobs to support your children or your child. Are you going to show them that even though maybe something was stacked up against you, you got dealt a bad hand, that there is somebody that you can put your faith and your hope and your trust in that will never let you down? What boat are you going to get into? Parents, are you teaching your children the importance of selecting the friends that they hang out with? Are you modeling that for them? Who are you hanging around? Because the Bible's pretty clear on the people that we hang around and the influence that we allow to come into our lives. In 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Bible says, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." Bad company corrupts good character. It's very important who you hang around. It's very important whose boat you get into. So what boat are you going to get into? Because it matters. It matters a lot. And that's my first point today. We saw the first thing in the story. Jesus gets in the boat. The disciples followed him. It matters what boat you get into. Here's my second thought today, if you're taking notes. You matter to God. You matter to God. I believe there's somebody here today. That's all you came here for today, right here and right now. Not the worship music, not my first point, not how I'm going to finish up. Somebody here today, you needed to hear that. You haven't felt like you're worth a whole lot. You haven't felt maybe in the last week or in the last year or maybe just your life in general. Listen, you've got to understand that you matter to God. You matter to him. And I think for me personally, this was one of the most challenging things and issues that I had in my life. Because I think back to the things I was doing or the things I shouldn't have been doing. And in my life, the question I had was, could God really love me? At some point in time, you've had to ask yourself that question. Could God really love me? And so I was very blessed that I grew up and my parents, they sent me to a church that had the living word of God in it. But other than that, I got to be straight up with y'all. Church was confusing to me. I don't know what your upbringing was or what you grew up in, but for me personally, church was just very confusing. There were all these different topics, but there was never a why behind the what. They would bring up tithing, and listen, the only thing I ever heard about money was a pastor would stand up on stage, he would look at everybody, and basically, if you didn't give your money, you were going to hell. I didn't know what tithing was. I didn't know what giving was. I didn't know that tithing and giving were two different things. I didn't understand what was going on. I had to dress a certain way. I had to talk a certain way. I could fight all the way from home to church, but when I got out, I had to put on that plastic smile and praise Jesus like everything was okay when I was not okay on the inside. What I found and what I discovered when I was younger was I found religion. Or let me say it this way, I found man's way to God. I found man's way to God. But I discovered something pretty exciting a little bit later. That's not why Jesus came to earth. Jesus didn't come for religion. Jesus didn't come to build a country club. Jesus didn't come to just put people in all these different denominations. Jesus came and lived and died and rose again so that you could have a relationship with the Father. Because God loves you. And God is crazy about you. He knows how many hairs are numbered on your head. And for all my bald friends, he knows how many hairs used to be on your head. God loves you. The Bible says he knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator, the Sustainer of life. He loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. With you. Man, that's some good news. God loves you. God wants to have a relationship with you. You matter to God. So we see Jesus getting in the boat. The disciples followed him. And then verse 24 says, suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. Check this out. But Jesus was sleeping. Jesus was sleeping. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like Jesus is asleep in your life? Have you ever felt like you were praying and trusting him? You were calling out to God. You were believing him for big things in your life, for big things in someone else's life. And it just didn't seem like God was showing up when you thought that he should show up. And God wasn't doing the things that you thought that he should be doing. Because the disciples, they're freaking out in the boat. And the Bible says that Jesus was sleeping. Jesus must have been a sound sleeper, huh? He must have been a sound sleeper with all that commotion and the disciples freaking out. And I love this story because God always takes me to a place when I think of sound sleeping. And I am not a sound sleeper. I don't know about you. Do I have any sound sleepers? A freight train could go through your bedroom and it doesn't matter. You're still going to be sleeping. That's cool. That is not me. I have to have white noise. I have to have a fan and I can still hear a mouse crawling across the floor. But my family kind of makes fun of me because I do this thing at our house called the walk. And the walk is basically every night I will get up and I will walk around the house and I will make sure that the windows are locked. I will make sure that the cars are still there, not broken into. I will make sure that the doors are locked. And if they're not locked, I'll unlock them and lock them again just so they're double locked. Come on, somebody, help me out. Anyways, I would do that. And here's the thing is, I've got two children now, but at the time I only had one son. He hadn't gone AWOL yet. He was still confined to a crib. And I would always walk into his room and lay my hand on him just to feel him breathing. Just to feel him breathing, making sure he's okay. Why would I do that stuff? Because I love my family. I want my family safe. I want my family secure. Why would I lay my hand on my son to make sure he's breathing? Because I love my son. If I got parents in the house, come on. You know how much you love your kids. You love your kids. You would do anything for your kids. So one night I got up and I'm walking through the house. I'm locking the doors and unlocking and doing all my checks. And I walk by Nick's room and I go in to lay my hand on him. And he wasn't in his crib. He wasn't there. And if you've ever been in a place where you've lost something of significance or something that means a lot, you know when you get the sickest feeling in your stomach. I was sick. I was screaming. I'm flipping on lights. I'm running through the house. I was going to call 911. My son was gone. I couldn't find my son, and I was freaking out. And the last thing is I'm up running, getting ready to go and call 911. And I went by, and he's standing there on his crib looking at me. I went in, and I laid him down. I had tears in my eyes. Laid him down and covered him up. And what I discovered was he had manipulated his body in such a way that he was wrapped in the corner with blankets on him, and he was there the whole time. But God has always brought that story up to me time and time again. Even to this day, he'll periodically bring it up to me. And he said, Dax, I don't ever want you to forget how you felt that day you couldn't find your son. Because that's how I feel about every one of my children that hasn't come home. You matter to God. You matter to God. He loves you, and I pray that today someone has that revelation, that understanding of how much you matter to God. In Matthew 18:12, we see another great example that shows the heart of the Father, the heart of God. Jesus is speaking, and the Bible says, if a man had 100 sheep and one of them wandered away, what will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others on the hills and go out to search for the one that's lost. God loves you. No matter where you're at in your life, no matter what you've done, no matter what you think you've done, man, God just wants you back in his house. We have a great, great Father. So number one, it matters what boat you get into. Point number two, you matter to God. And then number three, it matters if you're all in. It matters if you're all in. The Bible showed us that Jesus, he got in the boat and the disciples, they followed him. And then there was this big storm. I'm just wondering if you walked in here today and if you're just having a real conversation, you would say, Pastor, I got some storms in my life. I got some storms in my marriage. I got some storms at the workplace with my job. I'm trying to find a job. I've got some storms there. I've got some financial storms that are brewing at my place. I've got relationships that I've got some storms in, whether it's a parent-child or a child-parent, I've got some storms. I've got some storms with this addiction that I'm dealing with. I've got some storms. And see, the thing about storms is whether you get in the boat with Jesus or you don't get in the boat with Jesus, whether you decide to follow him or you don't decide to follow him, you are going to have storms in your life. I would even argue that the minute you decide that you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have more storms in your life. Jesus can bring the peace, but I'm telling you, you are going to have storms. And I think this is one of the biggest false teachings in the body of Christ today. That if you decide to follow Jesus and you make that decision, that your life is going to be happy and clappy and no storms and sunshiny days, and you're going to have kids and they're just going to skip down the road singing the great I am all the time. That's not life. That's not real. Jesus himself says in John 16:33, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have problems. You're going to have storms. But I love it how Jesus follows it up. He says, but take heart. Take heart because I've overcome the world. Jesus says, I've overcome it. He said, I overcame the cross. I defeated the grave. I defeated the enemy. I defeated the drugs that you think I have control over you. I defeated that addiction. Anything in your life, Jesus has overcome. Jesus has overcome. Man, that's some good stuff. But there may be times in your life, church, where you might need to follow the lead of Jesus and you might need to rest a little bit more in him and trust that he is in your boat. They wake Jesus up. Verse 26 says, then he gets up, he rebukes the winds and the waves, and is completely calm. Can you picture that? Waves, storms. Jesus is calm. You know, if I were to sit down and have a conversation with you today and said, do you want some calm in your life? Do you want some peace in your life? Most people would say, yeah. I want that. I want that peace. I want that calm. But there seems to be a disconnect because Jesus tells us that he will give us those things when we're all in for him, when we're committed to being all in for him. Jesus brings that. But too often, I believe many people, they come to a service like this. They feel the presence of God because God is in this place. They feel him. There's something. There's life change. They make that decision to get in the boat with Jesus. But then Monday comes, storm. Phone call, storm. Tuesday comes, storm. Somebody in your life's acting crazy, storm. Just drive over on 270, you'll find out what I'm talking about. Storm, storm. And oftentimes, what we can end up doing in our lives is trying to balance one foot with Jesus and one foot with the world. One foot with Jesus and one foot with our friends. One foot with Jesus and one foot with past behaviors. One foot with Jesus and one foot with that addiction. Then we wonder why. Why is my life such a mess right now? Why is all these, the financial, the marriage, my marriage isn't where it needs to be. Why do I feel so much restlessness inside of me? Listen, you have to be all in with Jesus. Let me say it this way, church. There is no part-time Jesus. There is no part-time Jesus. You got to be all in. You got to be all in. You know, I want to finish up my message today by sharing just a story about a young man and a group of friends. We all can think back, you know, some of you guys are really, really young today, and maybe you've got a group of friends you hang with, but maybe for others that might be kind of in the category I'm in, you can look back and think back to when you were younger and some people that you hung out with guys and girls with the girls. And there was this particular young man that he grew up pretty normal. I mean, he had a nice family. His parents, they actually were involved in the church. They led youth group. They led youth group. They were even contemplating being missionaries. The guy played sports and just hung out. There wasn't anything abnormal about this situation, about the guy or his family or anything. But he went on through middle school and still everything pretty normal. He gets into high school, first couple years still pretty normal. But then all of a sudden he ran into a storm, a pretty major storm. Because the young man walked down the stairs one day and he witnessed one of his parents having an affair with another parent's best friend. Waves, lightning, storms. This young man was sent into just a path of destruction. He went on through high school. And in that time, he started experimenting more with alcohol and maybe with some recreational drugs. He went ahead and finished high school, and then he went on to college like so many of our group of friends did at that time. And he gets to college, and the partying, it intensified. And he kept drinking more, and he kept doing more drugs. And then he started turning to other girls and other people to try to make him feel better about what was going on inside of himself. He went ahead and finished college, but the path of destruction, it just continued intensifying because he went ahead and got a pretty good job making pretty good money. And he took that money and he just poured it into the alcohol and into the drugs, anything that could ease the pain, anything that could dull and fill that void that he had inside of himself. He went ahead and got married. He went ahead and had kids. Still doing anything and everything he could because he couldn't find that peace that he was searching for. The man went out one time and got in a car accident because it was alcohol related. Hit somebody else going over 100 miles an hour. Didn't die, didn't kill anybody. This young man ended up getting divorced. He lost his wife, he lost his family, he lost his kids, he lost his house, he lost his money, he lost his car, he lost everything, and he felt like he didn't have anywhere else to go. He didn't feel like he was worth anything to anybody and didn't even think life was worth living anymore. And then one day, I felt God speak to me when I was broken and when I had nothing. And God said, Dax, I love you. I sent my son to die for you. I sent my son to take the punishment and the pain and everything that you went through, everything that you suffered. He nailed it to the cross for you. That was the day that I became new. That was the day that I said, enough is enough. That's the day I said, Jesus, I want you, but I just don't want you. I want all of you because I can't do this on my own. And I made the decision right there and then, not only to be all in for him, but to give him everything I had, every breath I have. I'm leaving it on the field until he comes back to get me. I was that man. I was that man. God took a nobody and gave me the opportunity to live a life that there is no better life than serving Jesus. Let me ask you something. Do you want something new in your life today? Do you want something new? Because that's why Jesus came. He came to bring life. He came to bring healing. He came to bring freedom. You don't have to wear the shackles anymore. Jesus paid the price for those shackles. And if that's something that you would say, yes, Pastor, I want that in my life. Well, in Joshua 24:15, the Bible says, then choose this day who you're going to serve. Choose this day. You're in a great place here. You have so many people that are cheering you on. The enemy doesn't want you moving forward in everything God has for you. But you've got great elders in this church. You've got great leaders in this church. You've got great people here today that are cheering you on. There is no better place. There is no better time than right here and right now to get in the boat with Jesus. But you have to make the decision. The decision's yours. No one can make it for you. Your mom can't make it for you. Your spouse can't make it for you. Only you can make that decision. But you choose today because it matters what boat you get into. You matter to God. And you've got to be all in for Him. And when you make that decision, let me tell you what the Bible says. This should get somebody fired up. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, this means that anyone under the sound of my voice who belongs to Jesus Christ has become a new person. The old is gone. The old is gone. And a new life has begun. Will you get in the boat today? That's my invitation. That's my message. Will you get in the boat with Jesus today? Because only Jesus can make you new. Will you bow your heads with me, please? With every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to speak to two people here today. First, I want to speak to the person that you have never made the decision to follow Jesus. You've never made that decision to give your life to Him. You've tried just about everything that this world says is going to make you happy, but every single time you're left wanting more, you're left unsatisfied. You've got that void in your life. With nobody looking around, if you're here today and you would say, yes, I need to give my life to Jesus. I need to surrender it all to Him. Would you put a hand up right now? That's for you and God. Just thank you. Just put your hand up right where you're at. I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ today. Praise God, I see that hand, thank you. And maybe you're here today, and this is the other group of people. You've already made the decision to follow Jesus. But somewhere along the line in your life, you've drifted. You've drifted. You haven't, the songs just don't carry the same meaning when you come into service. You almost don't even want to come to service all the time. Your walk with Him, it's become stale, it's become monotonous. But you know in your heart, you've been trying to maybe keep a foot in the boat with Jesus and then a foot somewhere else. It's just dragging. But I believe with all my heart, today is a different day for you. I believe with all my heart today, you can go all in. Whatever's been dragging, you can leave it there because Jesus is the one that paid the price for that. So I would ask you if you're here today and you would say, yes, I need to recommit my life to Jesus. I want to leave it all on the field for Him. Would you put a hand up right now? Just where you're at, boldly. Thank you, thank you. Hands everywhere. Just put it up and declare it today. Jesus is the one I'm getting in the boat with. Jesus is the one I'm going to be all in with today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for these hands today, but more importantly, I thank you for the hearts. I thank you for each man, woman, and child that is here, Lord, that is in this place. You are here, Lord, and every time you're in the house, something great happens. God, I just pray a blessing over each person today. I pray a blessing over their family, over their finances, over their circumstance. Whatever it is, God, whatever that storm is, I just ask you right here and now in the name of Jesus to bring that peace. God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. And we thank you in advance for what you're going to do in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. Can we put our hands together and give the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings a hand clap?